John chapter 7, if you will. Anybody need a worksheet, raise your hand. They'll come around and give you one. John chapter 7. Tonight's one of those messages that's kind of a shotgun message. It's one of those times where you just kind of you walk along and you see a little picture here and you see a little picture. My one? Yeah, okay. Maybe just that. Just a tad in the monitor. Just a tad. Just seems like I'm someplace else. That's better. That's enough. That's plenty. Just a little presence there. We're going to see several different people having a perspective looking at Christ. And to be honest with you, I have run into all these kind of people and all these things. And it's just one of those portions. There's other things in this passage, but it's one of those portions where we just kind of look at this and we see ourselves. We look in the mirror, and Lord willing, we won't walk away being a forgetful hearer. So John chapter 7, I'm going to read verse number 1. We covered 1 through 13 last week, but I'm going to read verse number 1, then I'm going to skip to verse number 11 and read to 32. All right. Verse number 1, John chapter 7, says, "After these things, Jesus walked in Galilee." In other words, he went up north, kind of up toward his hometown, "for he would not walk in Jewry." And of course, you're talking about where the most of the religious leaders, both religious and political, were, which is in Jerusalem. Okay, so he wasn't in Jerusalem where all the stuff's going on. Why? Because the Jews sought to kill him. Now, the narrator, John, is telling us this is the fact. The Jews sought to kill him. And that's why he said, "Well, my time's not now, and I don't need to be down there." So he went up to Galilee. And let's jump over to verse 11. So you know from last week that from there he went he was up there, but he did go back down to Jerusalem in verse number 2 because it's the Feast of Tabernacles, and all the Jewish males are supposed to go to Jerusalem, present themselves, the way it says, 3 times every year, at the Passover and at the Feast of Tabernacles. And let me think, it was one more. I can't remember what the other one was right at the moment. I'm going to say Pentecost. I think it was, but I'm not sure. But anyway, 3 times a year they're supposed to present themselves. And what happens is they go there and they will read the law to them as well. So it's almost like every other weekend for isn't that awful? My mind's on froze tonight. The guard, the National Guard. You know, they go back and get everything back up to snuff every so often. Well, 3 times a year, because it's a long way to go to Jerusalem. You're going to walk or ride an animal, and so you go down there and they keep this keep the law fresh in their mind. Now, that's what you're supposed to do. So even though Jesus knew his life could be in danger, that's what you're going to do. So he was going to obey God, even if his life was maybe at risk. But God said that's what you're supposed to do, so that's what he's going to do. So he went down to Jerusalem. Now, when he got to Jerusalem, he went a little bit later than his brothers went. We talked about that. But verse 11, when he got there, the Jews sought him at the feast and said, Where is he? They expected him to show up. And there was much murmuring among the people concerning him, for some said, "He's a good man." Others said, "Nay, but he deceiveth the people." Howbeit, no man spoke openly of him for fear of the Jews. So they're kind of talking a bit behind, saying, "Well, I think he's a pretty good guy." "Well, I don't know. I think he's a deceiver. I think he's lying to people. I think he says he's something he's not." But you see what he does? And look how he actually, they're all just trying to figure out who he is. Verse 14. Now about the midst of the feast, in the middle of the feast. Now the feast is 7 days, so somewhere, 3 days into all this, Jesus goes up to the temple, and he taught. And it says, the Jews marveled, saying, "How knoweth this man letters, having never learned?" And Jesus answered them and said, "My doctrine's not mine, but his that sent me. If any man will do his will, he shall know of the doctrine, whether it be of God or whether I speak of myself. And he that speaketh of himself seeketh his own glory. But he that seeketh his glory that sent him, the same is true, and no unrighteousness is in him. Did not Moses give you the law, and yet none of you keepeth the law? Why go ye about to kill me? Now remember, he said, John said in chapter 1 that he left Jerusalem because they were trying to kill him. And here Jesus says, why are you trying to kill me? Verse 20, the people answered and said, thou hast a devil. Who go about to kill you? Jesus answered and said unto him, I have done one work, and ye are marvel. Moses, therefore, gave unto you circumcision, not because it is of Moses, but of the fathers. And ye on the Sabbath day circumcise a man. Now, if a man on the Sabbath day receives circumcision, that the law of Moses should not be broken, are ye angry at me because I have made a man every whit whole on the Sabbath day? Judge not according to the appearance, but judge righteous judgment. Then said some of them of Jerusalem, is not this he whom they seek to kill? It's like they, are we killing, do we want to kill him or do we don't? You know, I mean, it's just really strange here. But lo, he speaketh boldly, and they say nothing unto him. Do the rulers know indeed that this is the very Christ? Howbeit, we know this man whence he is, but when Christ cometh, no man knoweth whence he is. Then cried Jesus in the temple as he taught, saying, ye both know me, and ye know whence I am, and I am not come of myself, but he that sent me is true, whom ye know not. But I know him, for I am from him, and he hath sent me. Then they sought to take him, but no man laid hands on him, because his hour was not yet come. And many of the people believed on him and said, when Christ cometh, will he do more miracles than these, which this man hath done? The Pharisees heard that the people murmured such things concerning him. The Pharisees and the chief priests sent officers to take him. Let's pray. We're kind of way behind here already. But we're talking about to believe or not to believe. That's the question. To believe or not believe. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your word. Lord, I pray that you'll help us to understand it. We ask for your Holy Spirit to teach us and guide us. You promised to do that. And Lord, I give myself to you to say what you want to have said. We ask in Christ's name. Amen. Now, in this passage, there appears to be some confusion on who Jesus is. We can't look at this the way we do in hindsight, knowing all the things we know about Jesus at this point. Because we'll say, well, why didn't they believe him? As long as they know this and this and this. Well, you know, they didn't see everything that we see in the Bible. They weren't all there all the times. And so they see bits and pieces and so forth and so on. So most people are trying to determine who Jesus is according to possibly their preconceived notions. They're going on feelings of who they think the Messiah would be and some on what they think the Messiah will be like and some on the traditions and the teachings of men. Remember, they didn't have a Bible to refer to. They couldn't get online and go to Esort and look it all up and put in a word and find it. So they're trying to figure all this out. So they're going on the word of man and saying they've watched and things are hearing that the Pharisees, the religious leaders are saying, and they're hearing one thing from the priests, and yet they're looking at Jesus, the word of God, and seeing something different. And so they're confused. I'll be honest with you, there's an awful lot of folks who live around, you know, who live in this day and age, and they see one thing in church, and they read something else in the Word of God. And so, you know what I'm saying? There's a lot of places where you're saying, well, what does the church teach? I don't care what the church teaches. I care what the Word of God says. I've had people say, so, okay, you're a Baptist. What does the Baptist church teach? The Baptist church teaches that the Bible is truth. Read it. Study it. Rightly divide it. Ask the Holy Spirit to guide you in the truth and let it say what it says, comparing Scripture with Scripture. That's what the Baptist teaches. You know, we're not teaching our own doctrine. Now, but these people are hearing, and the fact is, we have people out here in the streets right now, they have all these different things coming at them, and then, of course, then you got the internet, and then you got the History Channel. Oh, my soul, may we be saved from the History Channel. Now, there's a lot of things that are interesting on there, but they will go through, and all of a sudden, Janet and I we turned on the TV one day, the other day, and we were just going through to see something. We came across on PBS.
Oh, my soul.
And it was Channel 33, and they were telling us how they found Noah's Ark. And you know what they found Noah's Ark? They found Noah's Ark in Babylon, and it was a great big round basket. And they made a great big round basket, and it took on water, and that's the real Noah's Ark, and that the one that we heard about came up thousands of years later, and it was just a story that came up. Of course, you know, so you got all this stuff coming at you. Now, if you sit down and read this book here, you'll find that this book, there's nothing like this book. Just a casual reading is not going to tell you that. But if you start comparing scripture with scripture, line upon line, precept upon precept, you're going to find there's details in this book that no other book could have ever put together over 1,600 years and 40 different writers. Just couldn't have done it. Now, so some folks see Jesus as a threat, and they want to remove him out of their lives. Some see Jesus as a fake, and they want to kill him. Some see Jesus as a prophet, and they want to follow him. Now, we're going to see some things here, and somewhere we may just see yourself, or you may see somebody else. You may just give us a little insight. It's kind of an unusual little message here, but I think it'll be a blessing to us. It's one of those shotgun messages, and we're going to have an opportunity to see ourselves in a mirror. Number one, some folks refuse to receive Jesus. Some folks refuse to see Jesus. Letter A, the Jewish leaders wanted to kill Jesus. They wanted to kill him. Verse 1 says, after these things, Jesus walked in Galilee, for he would not walk in Jewry, because the Jews sought to kill him. Now, we spent some time on that last week. Don't want to spend a lot of time. They wanted to get rid of him. You know what? It's interesting how we get angry at somebody that makes us feel bad. Have you ever come across somebody and you didn't do anything wrong, but you're doing right, and because you're doing right makes them feel bad, and so now you're the enemy? I remember when I was in school, if you were one of those people that did everything the teacher said, they didn't like you because it made the rest of them look bad. Well, you know what? Jesus is like the perfect person, and he is. It makes the rest of us look bad. No, it makes us see us for what we really are. And those Jewish leaders had pumped up themselves pretty high and high in the eyes of the people. And you know what? I think they realized that Jesus was making them look bad. When I lead somebody to the Lord, one of the things I always say is that it was the religious leaders that wanted to have him arrested in the garden. Why? Because he told them they were sinners like the rest of us, and they didn't like it. So you got some folks who refuse. Now, we've been through all this before. We know the people could see that. I mean, the blind man said, Hosanna, son of David, have mercy on me and heal my blind eyes. He didn't even have eyes, but he knew who Jesus was. The religious leaders had the word of God, and they refused to see who he was. Sometimes our sin, our selfishness, our pride blinds us to the truth. It's almost as if we won't let ourselves see truth. They refuse to receive Jesus. Number two, some folks find it difficult to believe in Jesus. They find it difficult to believe in Jesus. Now, again, I'm not going to spend a lot of time on this because we talked about it last week. The brothers of Jesus do not believe in him. He said, well, okay, if you're the Messiah, what are you doing here? Let's all go down to the Feast of Tabernacles and do some tricks and let's draw a crowd when everybody's coming into town. Why don't we stand there at the gate and everybody can watch you heal somebody or do something, and you get some notoriety. If you're going to be the Messiah, you're going to have to get some political support here. Somebody's going to have to be behind you. You know, God's not going to be enough. See, they're thinking, you know what I'm saying? They weren't thinking. So some folks just find it difficult to believe. Now, what was it that Jesus did that made it difficult for them to believe? Nothing. They knew him better than hardly anybody else because they grew up with him. They were his brothers. They knew their his half-brothers, but they knew who he was. And the fact is, he always did what was right. And he was always right. Don't you hate it when your sibling's always right? And so it's like you couldn't fault the guy, but he sure was annoying. You know? And he claimed to be a Messiah, and you really can't hardly deny it, but I mean, it can't be. Come on. And so you got some folks who just find it difficult to believe. I think there's some people that see everything for what it is, and they say, you know, it's almost too perfect. This can't be right. Number three, some folks are afraid to be associated with Jesus. Some folks are afraid to be associated with Jesus. Letter A, the crowd in general were afraid to be closely connected to Jesus. Verse 11, then the Jews sought him at the feast and said, where is he? Now, they expected him to show up at the feast because he comes down every year. In fact, I think he had a testimony of always doing right according to the word of God. And if God said you're supposed to present yourself three times at Jerusalem, then they figured he's going to show up. It's interesting that they knew for sure he was going to do it. He's got to be here somewhere. They didn't say, oh, look, he showed up. No, it's that he's going to be here. I know he will. It's almost like it was with Daniel. They couldn't find anything wrong with Daniel back there, the prophet Daniel. So what they had to do was make doing right illegal. It's illegal to pray to God, because I know he's going to. And when after knowing that it was illegal to pray to God, it says that Daniel did what he always does. He sat by the window, probably facing Jerusalem, and prayed. Well, he just threw it in the face. No, he just didn't change anything. He didn't hide. He wasn't throwing anybody's face. He just did it. And they knew he was going to be faithful. I'll tell you what, it's a good testimony to be known for being faithful. You say, well, get you in trouble. Well, you might see God work. Yeah, he ended up in a lion's den. But boy, did he have a story to tell. Some people are afraid to be associated with Jesus. They're afraid to look too religious or fanatical. The Jews, when they said, where is he? They weren't looking to learn from Jesus. They were wanting to get rid of Jesus. And the faithfulness of Jesus was known to the rulers, and they knew that Jesus would show up at the Feast of Tabernacles, just as the law commanded him. Letter B, some folks are confused about Jesus. You may find yourself in any of these places here tonight. Some folks are confused about Jesus. Verse 12, there was much murmuring among the people concerning him. For some said, he's a good man. Others said, nay, but he deceiveth the people. Now watch it. His testimony was that he was a good and righteous man. However, the religious rulers had slandered him and tried to say that Jesus was a fraud. Now, this is one of those things where we have to be careful. We must take the word of God above everybody. Above everybody. I'll tell you what, there's been, you know, years ago, old Jim Jones and all that kind of stuff. Some of you young folks don't have any idea who I'm talking about. That's okay. Have you ever heard the saying they drank the Kool-Aid? That's where it came from. Jim Jones was a cult that had people follow him just like a puppy dog, and they all ended up in Guyana, South America, and was all said and done. All of a sudden, they found out, and they flew this. They all drank poisoned Kool-Aid, and there was people dead, hundreds of them all over the ground. He led them all in this great big suicide pact. I'm not sure they knew. They had to know that was crazy. After they started falling over, you had to, I don't know. But it was an awful thing, and people followed him like a bunch of dumb sheep, just followed after him. And they just thought that was, you know, he must be right. He's had a very charismatic personality. I don't care whether the guy has a TV show and he has a church that runs 50,000 people. I'm saying is you better make sure it goes along with the word of God. Just because men and a lot of men say he knows what he's doing or she knows what she's doing, Go back to the Word of God. That's why, so this is kind of laborious. It's a whole lot more fun when they tell us that we can do it. Yeah, I know. And we can through Christ. I can do all things through Christ that strengthen me. I need to obey the Word of God. And so, yes, we need to know. But the Bible says you're supposed to live by every word proceedeth out of the mouth of God. We ought to know the Word of God. That's the light unto our feet and lamp unto our path. And that's what we need to follow. We need to follow the Word of God. Some people are confused. Jesus Christ was the Word of God made flesh. They looked at Him. Listen, Hebrews 1, it says that the Lord at sundry times spoke to us by the prophets, hath in these last days spoken by His Son. How's that? The life of Jesus Christ showed who God is by being God in the flesh. And so they saw Him. They were seeing the Word of God lived out. Now, we've got it in black and white. We can see it. But the fact is they saw the Word of God lived out. And so when they looked at Jesus, they saw love and righteousness and holiness and peace. And yet they look at the religious leaders who walk around all dressed up in impressive things. And they work down at the temple, and it's all pretty impressive place to work. And they all look like high and mighty. And here you got this guy named Jesus who looks like a normal guy. In fact, he grew up there, down there with Joseph and Mary and his and the rest of his brothers, and he worked in the carpenter shop. Now he is to know the guy is totally different than anybody else you ever met. But I mean, can that really? I mean, what's he saying? Is that right? Or what? All these other people. Now those folks really aren't very nice, and they're kind of mean, and they really don't have a good testimony. And they talk big and don't really do it, but. Apparently, they're real important because the man has made them way up on a high level here, so they must know what they're talking about. People get confused about Jesus. We need to get off our high horse, and I don't care, and I'm not trying to be disrespectful, but he can wear a robe and a pointy hat. But the Word of God is truth. I'm not trying to be mean. I'm just trying to be blunt with you. The Word of God is truth. Match up the Word of God. Listen, my wife was going to a Catholic church, and she started reading the Bible. And I remember her telling me, we were just starting to date, and she said, I don't understand it. She said, Sterl, she said, I read my Bible, and I read my Bible, and then I go to Mass, and I hear what he has to say, and then I come home and read my Bible, and I just cannot put the two together. And I told her, I said, well, to be honest with you, my preacher, the church I'm living at or going to, it's not Catholic, but I feel like I'm really stupid or the Bible's really deep because I can't see what he's saying. He reads the scripture and he starts talking. He refers to it a few times, and I'm not following what he's saying. Well, I found out later the man didn't believe the Bible. He would just use a few phrases to kind of say what he wanted to say, even if it was taken totally out of context. What I'm saying is the reason we are confused is because we're not willing to take the Word of God for what it is. We've got to believe the Word of God first. Now, his testimony was that he was good, but the religious leaders were confused. Letter C, some folks are unwilling to confess Jesus. Now, I started this in number three, saying some folks are afraid to be associated with Jesus. The crowd was kind of afraid to be connected with him. They sought him and said, where is he? When he get rid of him? And some of them were confused. They said, well, I think he's a good man, but I don't know. The big guys up here said that he's not. I think he's lying to us, but I don't know what to do with it. And then some says they're unwilling to confess. Verse 13 says, how be it? So, well, let me go back to verse 12. There was much murmuring behind the scenes, murmuring among the people concerning him, for some say he's a good man, others say, nay, he's deceiving the people. Verse 13. Howbeit, no man spake openly of him for fear of the Jews. So, in other words, there we go. The bigwigs up here, who are in the long robes and like the prayers in the public square, are all saying that Jesus is a bad guy. You don't want to talk about him. You don't want to go near him. And yet they see Jesus, and so they're talking about him. I don't know. I think it's right. Making sure that no one heard him say it. They're afraid to confess. Sometimes we get like that too. We're not careful. In our heart, down deep in our heart, we know it's true. And yet we feel like we're the only one in town that believes it. and we're afraid to own up to it. Number four, just see if you see, you know, if you see anybody you recognize in here tonight. Number four, some folks are amazed at Jesus. Letter A, the Jews marveled at him. The Jews cannot deny that Jesus is something out of the ordinary. Look at verse 14. Now about the midst of the feast, Jesus went up into the temple and taught. And the Jews marveled, saying, how knoweth this man letters, having never learned? They said, well, you know, he doesn't look like much. And now, he really seems like a nice guy. But the Pharisees and the priests and the scribes and the Sadducees, they're all saying a man doesn't know what he's talking about. But be honest with you, when you sit and listen to him teach, man, it seems like he knows what he's talking about. I mean, he just starts quoting Scripture like it's part of who he is. I mean, and when he says it, it's like it makes sense. And it puts this piece together and this piece together, and all of a sudden, it's like, oh, that's what God was saying all along. And in another place, the Bible says, and he taught with those who had authority, not like the scribes and the Pharisees. In other words, he talked like he knew what he was talking about. And, I mean, he really seemed to know what he was saying. Now, the Jews marveled. That means they wondered at with great admiration. It was kind of like, have you ever seen anything like this? I mean, this is like unreal. Listen to that guy go. This is this guy that the Pharisees said that's not true. And yet his life, see, to back up with what he's saying. He says, how knoweth this man letters? Now that word letters there, it's almost you can get a lot of times you get an honorary doctorate degree of letters. I don't know if you've ever heard that, but they'll say an honorary doctorate degree of letters. And all that really means is that you know your stuff. Basically, is what it's saying, you know your stuff. Here, this word letters is referring to sacred writings, the Scriptures. He says, how in the world can he know these? He didn't come to rabbinical school with the rest of us when we were learning. I mean, he's, what, 30 years old? He should have been in my class. I don't remember ever seeing him there. And so, again, it's amazing how many Christians will look at the things of God, we'll look at the Word of God, we'll say, wow, that's really something. Yep, sure is something. I mean, it's amazing. What are you going to do with it? I don't know. It's like we know it's there, but we're not sure what we're going to do with it. We know Jesus never studied here, but somehow he knows. You know what? You know what we'll do? And I've heard it. They'll say, I know that's the Bible, but I was listening to the History Channel last week, and they told us that this part shouldn't have been there, and that part shouldn't have been there, and, you know, these guys are the wrong guys, and they were thinking about this, and, you know, they all have their doctorate degrees, and not a one of them could write a book like this. People who write a book about the Bible and quote it cannot write a book like the Bible. Well, that book was only written by men. Okay, who wrote your book? I tell you, listen, you see, Jesus is just a man. Okay, watch him. He's not like any other man you've ever seen. This book might have been penned by men, but the author was God himself. Number five, some folks choose to believe, and some folks choose to stay confused. Let me say that part again. Some folks choose to believe. And some folks choose to stay confused because they're not willing to obey what the Lord says. There are a lot of people who say, well, I don't understand this part. So they start throwing out the whole Bible. Well, I'll tell you what, obey the part that you do understand. And if you obey the part that you do understand, you'll find God will start revealing the part that you don't understand yet. Now, chances are there's some parts you will never understand because they weren't made, it probably wasn't meant for you anyway. There's some things, I think, in the book of Revelation, the book of Daniel, that we want to think we got it all figured out. You get on the internet, they all know who the Antichrist was. Oh, man, you know. Now, it's not the same guy. But they all know who the Antichrist was and when he's coming and this and that and the other thing and what this means and the third toe and Nebuchadnezzar's statue was and all this kind of crazy stuff. Well, first of all, we're not going to know the time nor the day or the hour. Only God the Father knows that. And the fact is, it talks about when the man of perdition, the son of perdition, is revealed. Well, he hasn't been revealed. They thought Hitler was the Antichrist. They thought this person. They thought this person. They thought that. Remember when they thought Henry Kissinger was the Antichrist? You remember that? He's a Jew. He's got power in America. Must be the Antichrist. Right now, they all think there's some folks who they think it's Obama. Some of them think it's Trump. I'm not trying to be mean. I had a guy who came here a few times right before the election. He said, "I can't vote for Trump." Why? Because he's the Antichrist. How do you know? Because the Bible says that the Lord's going to come at the last trump. I kid you not. I kid you not. I'm not trying to be funny. I'm just saying the Bible says we're not going to know. So stop trying to figure it out. You think you know more than God when you do those kind of things. In other words, you're not obeying what you know. Don't expect him to give you any information about what you don't know yet. He says you're not going to know, so accept it. And every time we go thinking, I got to figure it out, what you're saying is, God, you don't know what you're talking about. I know you say we're not going to know, but I got to figure it out. This is exactly what he's saying here. Watch this. Well, letter A. We must come to the Lord in faith. In other words, we need to believe. If we expect the confusion and the doubt to leave. We must come to the Lord in faith if we expect the confusion and the doubt to leave. The reason I could not understand what my pastor, that church I grew up in, was saying was because he did not believe the Bible was the inerrant, inspired, infallible Word of God. It was just a bunch of writings. And I remember we were in class. And if you go, you don't need to do it, but in Numbers, let's see here. It's chapter, I can find it here. Chapter 1, it says, God told Moses to take a census of everybody 20 years old and upward, so who can go to war. And when he got it all done, he got to verse 46, he had 603,550 men. Who were able to go to war. Now, he even says who he had going to have help him take the census. And how many was from this tribe, and how many was from that tribe, and how many was from that tribe. Now, it's pretty clear. I mean, it doesn't say, there's no reason to think this was figurative speaking, speech. In fact, several places it talks about, when they got ready to go out of the 40 years of wilderness into the promised land, they had about 600,000 again. They'd made up, they hadn't gone and gotten anywhere. And so that's what it says. What did my preacher say? Well, that can't be right. It wasn't any more than 25,000. Well, 603,000 men ready to go to war. We're not talking about their wives and their kids. I mean, these guys probably had two or three kids apiece. They all had a wife. We're talking 1.5 million at bare bones. No, it could have been more than 25,000. Why was it? Why came? Well, there weren't any people groups that large then. Well, how do you know? There just weren't. Now, he's trying to figure out how the Bible works and put it all together, Well, he's never going to find out because he won't believe what it says in the first place. We need to take God's word for it. Well, why should we take God's word for it? Go outside tonight and look up in the sky where it's kind of cloudy and you can't see it. Look up in the sky. You make that. Just go home and look in a mirror. Now, for some of us, it's scarier than others. But look in a mirror and see what you have. Look at the human body. And say, that happened by accident. It's idiotic. If we're going to come to God to have faith, we must believe that He is. And that He's a rewarder of them who diligently seek Him. You know what that means? I got to believe He is. If He is, then isn't He smart enough to give us the book to find out, to let us know who He is and what He's like? He said He is. We've got to believe that He is, and then we've got to diligently seek Him. And we'll find Him. The reason most people are so confused is because they're not willing to take Him for what He is. Yeah, but see, nobody's actually like that. Nobody but Jesus. Letter B. We must believe in Him that sent Jesus before we are going to believe in Jesus whom He sent. Let me say that again. We got to believe in Him, God the Father, that sent Jesus before we're going to believe in Jesus whom He sent. There's a lot of people, you say, well, I believe in God. Well, good. So you believe that God created the heaven? Well, I don't know about that. I mean, maybe He kind of turned on the condition and got it started, but then it just, you know, it just kind of does its thing. No, in Him all things consist. He holds it together. The reason the moon's not knocking into the earth is because God's got it right where He wants it to be. He hung the world on nothing. It's exactly where it's supposed to be. What holds it there? No one really knows. There's a gravitational pull. There's a sense. There's even a sense of no, true north and all this kind of stuff. But why? They can't figure it out. We got to believe that there's a God. John 14 says this, you believe in God, believe also in Me. Our verse 16 there, Jesus answered them and said, My doctrine. They said, well, how do you know these things? My doctrine is not mine, but His that sent Me. He said, what I'm telling you is what God said. Your problem is you don't want to listen to what God said. Who wouldn't want a Savior? Who wouldn't want a friend like Jesus who heals all your diseases? If you're hungry, He'll feed 5,000 if you're having over for dinner, huh? And then a week or two later, we have 4,000 over and He'll feed them too. No one loves us like He does. No one has more compassion. Your little kid was full of leprosy, and what did he do? He touched him and healed him. Your son was born blind. He touched his eyes and he could see. Who wouldn't want that? Well, see, he's connected to the Father. And the Father is the authority. And I want to do as I please. I choose not to believe. I'll be honest with you. I think that this is my opinion. I'm just throwing a number out here. I think 80 to 90% of all atheists are only atheists because they choose not to believe. I can't tell you how many that I've talked to. You ask them, why are you an atheist? You know what they'll say? My dad died when I was 5. Or my wife died of cancer and had an awful, awful, awful death. And see, what does that have to do with it? See, God should have fixed it. So they're upset with God. They don't like what they see. They don't understand what they see, so they choose not to believe. Letter C. You must be willing to obey God before you're going to hear from God. I believe that with all my heart. I've had people say, well, I don't understand the Word of God. Listen, if you're reading the Bible and you don't understand the Word of God, here's what you need to do. With all your heart. Bible says, seek Him with all your heart, you'll find Him. We must believe that He is, and He's a rewarder of them who diligently seek Him. If you really want to know God, you read His Word. Before you open that Bible up, you bow your head and you say this, Lord, this is Your Word. Your Spirit promised to teach me. And what it reveals to me, I will obey. Now, you know what? Some folks have a hard time getting that last part over their lips. Now, I'm not talking about every little thought that goes flying through your brain. I'm saying, and I've told this, I said, now, God, I'll do it if you make it dead clear. I mean, just if you make it clear, I'll do it. And I mean it. You start doing that, you will be surprised what God will let you see of His Word. But if you're going to go to His Word and say, I wonder what He's got, I'm going to take a look at it. I didn't see anything I liked there today. Maybe it'll be something in there tomorrow. Don't expect to get a whole lot out of it. I'm dead serious with you. You want to hear it, and you're going to obey it, you'll understand it. But if you start trying to figure it out and try to say, well, that can't be right. Certainly He wouldn't ask anybody to do that. Well, that can't be right. Well, no one else does that. You're going to be so confused. You're going to be like a termite in a yo-yo. You're not going to know which way's up. You're going to be going around and around in a circle trying to figure out what truth is. You got to go to God's Word saying, if you make it clear, I'll believe it and I'll obey it. Look what it says in verse 17. If any man will do his will, he shall know of the doctrine, whether it be of God or I speak of myself. He says, if any man will, that word will means to choose, to determine. Exercise your will. We exercise our will all the time, even if our will says, I'm not going to do anything. I'm not going to listen to it. You say, well, I didn't choose against it. I didn't choose for it. I just didn't choose anything. No, you chose against it. If God reveals to you something and you don't do it, you exercised your will, even if it was simply to say, not yet. Listen, we've raised kids. You tell them to clean up their room, and they say, I will, and then they don't. They exercise their will in disobedience by not doing it now. He says, if any man will exercise his will to, watch, if any man will do His will. That's the Lord, that's God's purpose. That word will is slightly different. Same base, but it's slightly different. God's purpose, God's decree, God's pleasure. Not my pleasure, not what I want, what God said. If any man will exercise his will and do what God wants him to do, God will show him. You will know of the doctrine. That word doctrine is the instructions. What to do, what not to do. God, you will know what to do, and you'll know whether it's of God or not. Or whether I'm just speaking of myself. In other words, he's saying, unless this is just some word of man, it's some crazy thing. See, he says, I'm teaching, you kind of like it, but you don't want to believe it. You want to believe it, you want to say, well, it's just some crazy man's not going to do anything. Caiaphas says, remember they said, well, you know, if the disciples is just a whim going through, it won't amount to something. But if it's of God, don't fight it because you'll be fighting God itself. He said, you're going to find out whether what I'm saying is actually of God. He says, he that speaketh of himself seeketh his own glory. his own praise, his own honor. But he that seeketh his glory, God's glory that sent him, the same is true. In other words, has nothing to hide or no ulterior motive. In fact, the word true there really means the same. That same person is truth. He says, what I'm giving you is truth. I'm not looking for this glory. I'm trying to bring glory to God. Remember, he told when he got ready to be crucified, he says, Lord, glorify me that thou may be glorified. Let them all see me so that they can see you through me. He says, there's no unrighteousness in him, no wickedness, no injustice. Watch, he says, did not Moses give you the law, and yet none of you keepeth the law? Why you go about to kill me? Now, see, we're back to this thing where John said he left Jerusalem because they were trying to kill him. But then he's talking to them also. Oh, come on, who's trying to kill you? No one's trying to kill you. You're crazy, man. But he knew what was going on. Now, wait a minute. Listen to me. What did Jesus do that deserved to be executed? Nothing. But they wanted to kill him. Now, if I remember right, I think there's 10 suggestions that says, thou shalt not kill, one of them, huh? No, there's 10 commandments, and one of them is, thou shalt not kill. Now, it says, you all are saying you know truth, and what Jesus is saying is not true, but it says you're not doing the will of the Father. You're not willing to obey the Father. God gave you 10 commandments. One of them is, thou shalt not kill. That's pretty clear, and everybody kind of knows that one. And you're out to kill me. No wonder you don't know who I am. You're not even willing to obey one of the most obvious commands that God has ever given. Don't take another person's life. Now watch this. There's scripture in the Bible that lends us to believe. It says if you hate someone in your heart, you've kind of committed murder already. Is it possible that there's people who are not understanding the Word of God because they're harboring bitterness in their heart and just kind of wish that other person was dead? The commandment is to love others as you love yourself. And yet we're wondering why we're confused about the things of God. Because we're not willing to obey the obvious. It's amazing. You say, well, no one knows it. No one needs to know it but God. He's the one that does the teaching. So he's the one that's not going to show up when you decide to open the Bible with bitterness in your heart. That's why it says in the Lord's Prayer, forgive us our trespasses, we forgive those who trespass against us. You want to see God work, you got to get rid of that kind of stuff. You say, well, yeah, but that happened a long time. That doesn't still count, does it? Well, I know there's still bitterness in your heart. Well, that person's dead now. It doesn't matter. I don't know. Is there still bitterness in your heart? That person's someplace for eternity. You mean you're going to walk into heaven and see that person and go, oh, man, he got up here. I got to live next door to him. I'm saying that the sin is not where that person is, whether they're dead or alive. The sin is in your heart. We wonder why we don't understand the things of God, but we're not willing to obey what we know. We got to stop. We only got halfway through. Actually, we went up here, didn't we? We'll pick up where we are next time. You know, this is kind of a simple little thing. And you know why we read this and we just kind of read right past it? I mean, you know what we say? I wonder why this is in here. And that's silly. I wonder, this has nothing to do with anything. it might have everything to do with everything. Because you know what this is? This is where we live. You know, listen, people love to shout. Listen, you go have a big prophecy conference, and I'm not against prophecy conferences. Well, you start talking about when Jesus comes and he's going to put down all the wicked heathen and this is going to be great and we're all going to go up and we're going to see our friends and him. And we need to know those things. That's all fine dandy. And we want to know all about that. But we read a piece like this, say, I wonder what in the world, why did Jesus waste paper and Bible space with this stuff? Because this is where most of us live 24/7. We look at Jesus and we don't know what to do with him. And then we just kind of ramble through life and we wonder why we're confused and don't seem to be getting anywhere and nothing's new and nothing's getting fixed and we're just having this issue. And it comes back and does it again because we haven't dealt with our faith in him. To believe or not to believe. It's our choice. Father, thank you again for your word. Thank you for speaking to us. Thanks for teaching us some things. And Lord, you're always faithful. It amazes me sometimes the way you put all these things together. Sometimes I just sit in my study and I feel like I gotta take my shoes off because I'm walking on holy ground. Lord, you reveal these things, and Lord, I want everybody to be able to just look at your word and know it. But Lord, you've given us some principles here we need to tend to. So Father, speak to us. We thank you for it.